Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Was that a weird hello that I
just said? Different to normal.
I didn't mean for it to come out different to normal. I'm not experimenting with a new salutation.
Okay, that's good to hear.
Thought I could start with a couple of examples of things done out of awkwardness.
Oh, great, yeah.
That happened to me this week. So, one day last week, I was working, as I do from time to time at the BBC. Mm-hmm. And as I was arriving, I was really hungry, and I thought, I'm going to go to the canteen. Yes, the BBC canteen that we heard about in so many Ronnie Corbett monologues. I'm going to go to the canteen, and I'm going to get myself a pot of grapes.
Pot of grapes, lovely.
Yeah. However, I also knew that the lift I usually take, because of Corona, is only going up at the moment. You're only to use it for upwards travel.
Okay.
And the canteen is on level minus one.
Okay.
So presumably there's another downlift somewhere. Mm. But I didn't know where it was. So I thought, what I'll do is, after I buzz myself in, there's always a security guard just sitting there. It looks like a really depressing job. I mean, maybe it's not. But you go in, and there's a bunch of security people. There's somebody who takes your temperature. There's somebody who else checks your pass as you're going in, as you bib yourself through, right? Mm-hmm. Once you've bibbed yourself through, almost like a second line of defense, there's a guy sitting on a stool. He's separate from all the others.
Right.
And he was the guy I thought, I'm going to ask about the lift.
Okay.
So I go through so that I don't just look like I'm asking him about the lifts and not exchanging a pleasantry. Mm. I say, oh, hello, how are you? Thinking he will say, oh, I'm fine, thanks, and then say, can you tell me which lift goes down to the canteen?
Yep.
However, when I said, hello, how are you? Mm. He seemed very pleased that somebody had asked him how he was.
Oh, yeah.
And gave me, you know, not a long rambling answer, but you know, a slightly more substantial answer.
Okay.
And he seemed so pleased, and maybe I'm projecting this onto him. Oh. I got the impression that everybody just walks past him or doesn't speak to him or just says hi and carry on walking. And it meant something. It seemed to me there was something on his face that it meant something to him that somebody had asked him how he was.
Yeah, yeah. So what you couldn't do now
was ask him to get down to the canteen.
No, because that would take it all away.
Yeah. So I went, oh, well, anyway, good to see you. Better go up now. And off I went, because I just wanted to look like the hero who was asking him how he was.
I wasn't just exchanging a pleasantry so I could get something out of you.
No.
I was just being nice.
Yeah, oh. I'm just interested in you as a human being.
So did you go without the grapes then?
Yes, I did. Oh, yeah. So there was that. Mm. And then so a couple of things on the way from picking my son up from nursery today. First off, we popped into a shop. And as I went into the shop, I saw one of the mums from the same nursery coming out. And I gave her a big smile and she smiled back at me. But I could tell she was just smizing. In other words, smiling with her eyes, which is from America's Next Top Model.
Correct.
Circa what year?
Oh, I think she was doing it up until like maybe 8 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
But and that was the phrase, if you smile with your eyes, you're smizing. Yeah. And she was smizing with her eyes because she had a face mask on.
Oh, yeah.
So as I passed her, I gave her a big smile. And then I thought, oh, God, I forgot to put my face mask on.
Oh, whoops.
Which I then did straight away. Mm. However, she'd left the shop by that stage.
Oh, no.
So I'm worried that she thinks I'm a mass refuse nick.
And there you are, smiling, so proud.
Yeah.
She would have said, oh, we look so smug and proud. Yeah.
So do you think it would be weird
yes.
the next time I see her at yes. pickup,
yes.
even if it's a week from now, to yeah. say, oh, when I saw it, when we smiled at each other in the shop the other day, I'd forgotten to put my mask on, and seeing you, I then put it straight on afterwards. I'm not a mask refuser, Nick.
I think all you can do now is wear a mask every
at
time
all
you,
times.
You leave, yeah, and then yeah. you look like a really great mask
yeah,
guy.
Okay, okay. So here's the thing done out of awkwardness. I said I had two things done out of awkwardness. So my son has got himself into quite a strange routine.
Okay.
Up until about 6 months ago, for all of his life, there was a cake shop on the main road between his nursery and our house that sold pretty cupcakes.
Right.
Went out of business about 4 months ago. It's subsequently been replaced by some kind of deli cum bakery selling flatbreads and more grown-up food.
Okay.
He's got himself into this routine that every day when he walks past it, he shouts through the open door at the proprietor.
Mm.
He shouts, hey, you used to sell cupcakes, right?
Oh.
And the lady very nicely smiles at him, and then we carry on walking. Right?
Yeah, it's so sweet.
It's weird. It's a weird thing to do, but you know, he gets himself into these patterns yeah. and he just does it over and over every day. That's what he does. It would be less painful if this business looked like it was going to be any kind of a success, because I've never really seen anybody in there or buy anything from there.
Right.
And it feels a little bit like my son is rubbing it in
right.
by saying, didn't this used to be that great cake shop?
And he's the only person who's like crossed their threshold that day.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, that's really how it seems some days.
Yeah.
So today, after he shouted, hey, you used to sell cupcakes, right?
Mm.
I sort of shouted after him through the open door, but look what great things they sell now. don't these muffins look delicious? And then I bought a muffin out of awkwardness.
Oh, that's nice.
Do I now have to do that every day?
Well, yeah, you've got your routine going now. It's the pattern. Of course you do.
Do share your stories with us. I think the trickle has been healthy, hasn't it,
the last
couple of weeks?
Yeah.
But we could always do more. Share your stories. I think maybe as the world... as the lockdown restrictions are lifting, and I'm not saying it's back to normal, but if people are moving around in the world a bit more, we're having more uncomfortable interactions. Let's enjoy it while it lasts.
Yep.
So do send your stories in to us. hello@adriftpodcast.com.
First one is from Kirsty. I have been catching up on the podcast and just listened to the one where Jeff forgot someone's name. It reminded me of when...
There's more than one episode where that's... that every other week that happens.
I think that might be the Pierre one. Is it
oh, yeah. Philippe and Pierre. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
It reminded me of when I forgot someone's name. Now, I say someone, but even Jeff hasn't been this bad. I used to take my daughter to a swimming class, but I had to change because the timing and pool location no longer worked. So we started at a new sports centre. And since I left the other company, I'd had a second daughter. One evening when my daughter was around 6 months old, I went to the pool and was waiting with my older daughter and carrying my six-month-old. Suddenly, a lady said hello. Now, I'm terrible at names and I definitely didn't know hers, but that's not the issue. I knew she was a parent from the previous swimming place and chatted with her for a minute or two. Then she congratulated me on my new baby and asked a question that should have been no problem at all. What's your baby's name? Silence. My head is empty. I have literally no clue what my baby's name is. There's silence. What it felt like was an eternity. Then I just had to say it. I've forgotten. How could I do that? And after the longest time in the history of conversations, I would say a good minute, I blurt out, "It's Willow. Willow, God, how can I forget that?" My baby was 6 months old. I cannot claim baby brain. I learnt she was only there as a one-off because her class time had been cancelled, which is a relief, as otherwise I'd just have to take my daughter out of swimming class and tell her that she would just never be able to learn to swim. Why didn't I just say to my older daughter, "Why don't you tell the lady what your new sister is called? Why didn't I think of that?"
I think you can blame anything, certainly in that first year, on baby brain.
I think up to a year.
Yeah. And I think it's a whole other world when you've got two.
But I think that's quite the thing, that's isn't it? Forgetting your own child's name is very impressive. And this is from Wise Lady Dominica from Melbourne, Australia, 33 years old. I work at the front desk of a physiotherapy clinic. When it comes.
You can do it. In the early days, I would have edited this kind of thing out. But here's the thing. We're recording this at 9 o'clock on Tuesday night. I've got to get this finished by midnight. Path of least resistance.
I've got it now.
Good. I gave you a little bit of a runway there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
When it comes to the time for clients to make their next appointment and pay, we always talk about whatever is happening in the world at the time. A bit over a month ago, when we were seeing worldwide Black Lives Matter protests, the news was on and it happened to be reporting about some people getting hurt by anti-protesters, as well as of thousands of COVID-related deaths. I made the same comment to the lady in front of me that I seem to be saying all year. Well, 2020 isn't going to be a year any of us will soon forget. Referring naturally to our bushfires in January, followed by floods, the COVID pandemic, and now the worldwide Black Lives Matter protests. She replied with, "I take great comfort in seeing all this tragedy in the world right now."
What?
I must not have masked my look of shock fast enough, because she went on to explain, "Oh, I'm a Christian." My expression must have morphed from shock to confusion, because she went on to say that all the terrible things happening in the world meant that Jesus was almost here and she was so excited to meet him. I strongly believe that everyone has the right to religious freedom, and having grown up as a Christian myself, but being a little more atheist these days, I tried to hold a neutral face while she told me about her terrible upbringing and about the time she saved a stranger's life just by conversing with him. After what felt like an age, she invited me to join her church that coming Sunday. When I replied that I wasn't local to the area, she insisted that a short 10-minute drive is worth a relationship with Jesus. I then gladly informed her that I lived over 60 kilometres away from work, thinking this would finally get her to leave me be. But no, she asked where I lived. Not wanting her to know exactly where, I just said, "Oh, out past so-and-so." Well, turns out she is good friends with the pastor's wife of the so-and-so chapter of her church. She then proceeds to pull out of her phone from her bag and call the pastor's wife so that she may set up a Zoom Bible study between the two of us. But luck was on my side. The woman didn't answer, and I thought that I was finally free. Instead, she wrote down her friend's name and phone number and made me promise to call her that week. And it didn't end there. Ignoring all social distancing recommendations, she leans over my reception desk, grabs both of my hands, and insists I pray with her. Oh, no, I really don't want to keep you any longer," I say, as I try to gently pull my hands out of her grip. No, I insist," she replied. Short of completely offending this woman and telling her I'd rather run down the street in the nude than pray with her in that moment, I thought it best to just suck it up, close my eyes and hope it would be over after a minute. Not for a moment did I think that she wanted me to lead us both into prayer. She encouraged me to begin. And when the dust settled in my brain, I had to confess it had been quite some time since my last communication with the bloke upstairs. I could see that she took pity on me and felt a tiny bit of gratitude until she said, "Repeat after me." She made me pray with her, and the whole time I was praying for the phone to ring. Needless to say, I now hide from her whenever she or any of her family members have an appointment during my shift.
That's unbelievable.
Yep.
I'm telling you something, that pastor's wife took one look at the phone and thought, "Oh God, not again.
Sixth time today.
Wow, yeah, that's amazing.
It's extraordinary, isn't
also
it?
Also, just, you know, I'm on board with everything that was said at the beginning about religious freedom. Then that in mind, it's really strange that somebody would be looking at everything that's going on and go, "Oh God, everything's going to shit. There's all this suffering. Mm. He's coming back for his favourite ones. Those favourite ones will be out of there. Yeah. We'll be out of here soon."
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. There's a type, isn't there? Mm. sullying the good name of the majority. If you would like to send us a story of your own uncomfortable social interactions, although those two are going to take some beating this week. If you're going for just pure social discomfort, those are going to take some beating. You can email us. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com. Annabelle.
Yes.
I'm ready for another way in which you are not a fully functioning adult.
Okay. So my mum is not one for giving advice, but she's always said, never fall out with your neighbours. As a result, here is a list of things that I haven't even mentioned to neighbours over the years. And this is the things that neighbours have done. Regularly spitting chewing gum into my garden, sticking down my windscreen wipers with chewing gum, kids roller skating up and down a hallway at 6 a.m. every morning on wooden floors, loud parties with bad music, cutting part of my own hedge about 6 feet shorter so it looks very bizarre, putting fox poo inside the hedge, being so noisy all the time that I moved into a very cold, damp bedroom as it was quieter in there, having a garden sprinkler for nearly every waking hour and thereby reducing my water pressure to a trickle. I just don't say anything. Like, I see, and then I fantasise about living in a remote, detached house. But I do not want a neighbourly feud. I don't want to have to hide in my house if I notice they've just left theirs any more than I normally do. My son, though, is much more sociable than me. I'm very friendly with a little boy the same age who lives in the upstairs flat next door, and he likes going into his garden. And I've mentioned before that there's no fences out the back due to some mysterious bylaw, so he can get there easily by very slightly cutting across our downstairs next door neighbour. Let's call them Phil and Claire. And whenever I've seen them, they've said, oh, you know, let Rudy do what he wants. We love children. He can come in our garden anytime. And they let their children play in the other little boy's garden too. See, it's a bit of a free-for-all.
Yeah.
Or it was.
Oh.
Until recently, Phil and Claire started putting up barricades to prevent my son from cutting across. Like, first it was just a bench, so I wasn't quite sure because he could still get round it. But then it was a bench and one of those big outdoor heaters. And when he could still just about squeeze past, they moved their big barbecue in the way. Obviously, I was outraged, so I dealt with it by doing and saying nothing, just internally hating them.
Excuse me.
Now, a few weeks later, my boyfriend came home from going out with my son on his bike, and he was holding a box of milk tray, which surprised me, as he doesn't ever bring me home gifts, and this gift felt quite retro. And then I was confused, as he didn't hand it to me. He started getting out wrapping paper and wrapping it up. And I questioned him, and it turned out that he bought this box of milk tray for someone else. Not a lover, though. Worse, the daughter of Phil and Claire next door, as it was her 8th birthday. Now, strangely, my first thought was, why are you buying our enemy a present? And it was only after I'd had that thought that I thought, why are you buying an 8-year-old girl a box of milk tray?
So weird.
Didn't they have Haribo or a Curly Whirly? Like, I think we both know it's a box of chocolates you buy for a lover.
I mean, that's how they've been marketed ever since, like, I can remember. It's like, all because the lady loves milk tray.
Think of the advert. Like,
did he dress all in black and break into
it? All in black. He went on a daring mission to deliver them into the home he'd broken into of a glamorous lady, his lover. Honestly, I check every day to see if her parents have put bars on their daughter's windows to stop Tom climbing through in the night. It is without doubt the creepiest present that anybody has ever bought. I did ask him why. He said, oh, I wanted to get celebrations, but there wasn't any. And like, I had Rudy with me and like, it was really stressful. So I just like grabbed the first thing I saw. But actually, I really don't mind because I feel now that because my boyfriend has bought their 8-year-old daughter milk tray, that's my revenge sorted. We're even now. Barricade away.
Should we do a few more of those kind of laughing on the outside, dying on the inside? The jokes people always make when they found out your job, etc.
Yes, so we know not to say them ourselves.
Yes.
The first one's from Duncan, age 35. I work in a toy shop in Los Angeles, and every day someone says to me, playing with toys again, or pretty sweet job, just sit around all day playing with toys. I'm the manager here and also the stock manager. I run our eBay store. I'm the buyer when the owner isn't around, and I'm in charge of all the displays in the shop. In short, no, I do not sit around playing with toys all day. Sometimes they even say, oh, grown man playing with toys. I usually just say jealous, and the answer is most often yes. On the rare occasions I'm feeling up to it, I might fire back with, you wouldn't be if you saw my paychecks. But being a drifter, that takes more guts than I can usually muster. This is from Trevor, who says, I'm a cabinet maker, and people are always saying as they enter the workshop how they love wood and the smell of wood and how lucky I am to work with it. After 15 years of being constantly covered in sawdust, to be honest, I'm a bit over it. So I just have to smile and be nice, as it's usually a customer. And from Distinguished Governor Martha, I'm a baker and a cake decorator, and the two things I hear constantly are, one, if you ever need a taste tester, you know where I am, wink.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
And two, oh, what a great job, I'd love to eat cake all day.
Yeah.
The first is usually said in a way that seems the speaker is delighted with their clever idea and leaves me worrying that it wasn't just a joke, and they will spend the rest of their days disappointedly checking their emails, wondering why I've not got in touch about an exciting new flavour combo I've come up with. The second belies that they haven't quite grasped the nature of the business. The purpose of making cakes is to sell them and thus feed my family. I always come away from these interactions feeling that people have an image of me as a kind of Pooh Bear sitting surrounded by cakes and honey, licking icing off my paws, when the reality is a lot less fun, usually being a hot, sweaty mess with ovens blasting and buttercream stuck to my eyebrow. I mean, I've not done a minor or anything, but it's not quite the same as the romantic WI idea people sometimes have.
I'm thinking, I think I might have been guilty of the, oh, the smell of wood.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's good because, you know, these are funny and they're instructional as well. Yeah. I always find it funny, like with that one, when people think your job is the thing you'd be most interested in as a pastime as well. But I've met people, you know, I've met people who've been radio broadcasters who then collect radios.
Right, okay. So
which I find weird.
Some people are like that.
Yeah.
Very, very passionate.
Yeah. Well, some people are passionate about their job. Yeah, imagine that. I think there's a bit of mileage in this, yeah. It'd be good to get a few more. So do email us, hello@adriftpodcast.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'll tell you what I thought there might be something in, but maybe not. The tiny things about yourself that even the people you're closest to have no idea about.
Oh, that could be very interesting.
So I don't know, but like I think my wife and I are about as open with each other as it's possible to be, possibly too open really about things. Like we will talk about anything.
Okay.
And it only occurred to me the other day that something my wife doesn't know about me is just how often I enter a competition to try and win a trip on the Orient Express.
Can I take a rest at guess at how often? I mean, are we talking more than once a month?
About once a month is right. But, you know,
really?
In a bored moment, I'll think, I wonder if there are any competitions to win a trip on the Orient Express.
How interesting.
And I'll be Googling it. And then if one comes up, I'll be entering and then I'll be checking back on it and whatever. So I thought that's kind of a good example of something that nobody would ever know about me.
Yeah.
It's such a weird thing to have latched onto as well. So I wondered if there was anything in that. But let's see if we get anything back on it. If you want to email in and tell us about yours, and either it goes somewhere or it doesn't. Can I tell you a story?
Yes.
Did I mention on the podcast that I'd interviewed Björn Ulvaeus from ABBA?
You did, yeah.
And I was so excited about it. We had been to Mamma Mia the party earlier this year before lockdown, and it was one of the greatest nights of my life.
Yeah.
We couldn't concentrate because it's me and you and Tom, your lover, and my wife Sarah, and my friends Nick and Catherine, who you got on very well with.
Oh, they were lovely.
Yeah. Great. I mean, we had this wonderful night, but very early on we saw Björn was there, and I couldn't really concentrate on the show because I was just looking at him the whole time. It was like right over the other side of the venue, but we could see him at his table. And it was very distracting, wasn't it?
It was thrilling.
Yeah, it was thrilling.
Yeah, it's thrilling.
And in my head, I was running through all the things I might say to him if he came past our table on his way to the toilet. And then, you know, it never happened.
No.
But and after he left, because he left as soon as the show finished and it turned into a disco, I went over and sat in his empty seat and like held the dregs of his Diet Coke, and it was just an exciting time.
It was. Yeah.
Now, I didn't mention any of this during the interview, so I did talk about that a little bit on an episode the other week. I talked about it a bit more extensively on Reasons to Be Cheerful, the other podcast I do.
Okay.
Something we do at the beginning of that podcast is Ed, my co-host, and I both bring along a reason each of us have to be cheerful from that week, from our real lives that week. And mine was that I'd interviewed Björn Ulvaeus, and I said it was great. I talked to him about ABBA getting back together. They've got 5 new songs coming out. He's currently in quarantine. He's on an island in the Stockholm archipelago. He goes kayaking once. You know, I just gave a summary of what we talked about.
Mm.
A few days later, I get a text message. Oh, you're in the paper.
What?
And so presumably what had happened is some journalist had listened to Reasons to Be Cheerful, heard me talking about this, and then wrote it up as a story.
Right.
And then that story ended up in the Metro and the Sun newspaper and the Daily Mirror and the Daily Express and sort of, and then in news outlets around the world.
But what aspect of the story that he was quarantined on an island?
No, about the reunion, which is, you know, as far as I'm aware, is, you know, it's news that's, well, it is, it's not as far as I'm aware, it's news that's out there.
Okay.
He sort of said in the interview, he said, look, I promise the songs will be out next year. I said, will it be 2022? He said, no, because of COVID and because of sort of technical difficulties, because they're doing this tour, I think, with holograms. That's the idea, they're sending holograms out on tour. I think that hasn't gone smoothly, so it's taking longer than they'd originally planned. But he said, the songs will be out next year. So this all got reported. In that was mention of these 5 songs.
Right.
So then the next thing that starts happening to me is I start getting inundated by ABBA fans on social media saying, so did Björn confirm to you that it's 5 songs?
Oh, okay. Wow.
And I thought, I can't remember if he did, actually. I know I told Ed, like, they've got these 5 new songs coming out. And I know that when I was doing my research, it said there are 2 songs. Then another article said there's going to be 5 songs coming out. So I listened back to the tape.
Mm.
And here's what was said. Me. So, you know, you've done these new songs. You've got, I think, 5 new songs coming out. How was it being back in the studio? Björn, well, it was great being back in the studio.
It doesn't actually say...
No, but... So I'm in a panic now.
Right.
Because this is getting ABBA fans very excited.
Yeah. Oh, no. But, you could be an object of hatred if it turns out not to be
well,
true.
Well, this is it. So now I've got people coming at me on Twitter saying, either confirm this and release the tapes or your career will be in the dustbin.
Release the tapes!
I know. I thought, well, my career is in the dustbin anyway, so that's fine. But because... These people are being so nasty the way they're asking. I'm not replying to them. Also because, like, very specifically at this moment in time, I'm having 48 hours off posting on Twitter because of anti-Semitism.
Mm.
So, you know, I've got a bit of a breather while I think about what I can say to them.
Oh, no.
So I then brought it up on the next week's Reasons to Be Cheerful, and I started doing what I just did with you.
Yeah.
And then Ed starts... on, because we're doing it on Zoom at the moment, he starts going, no, stop it. So, you know, you don't want to do a full retraction. What we can do is just, you know, I can help you with this. And I thought, that is somebody who's had experience of the press taking everything he said out of context for years.
Yeah.
So we talk about going viral and me saying about these 5, and he goes, yeah, so, you know, you mentioned these 5 songs and he didn't, you know, he didn't deny them or... I thought, oh, demur from that. And I thought, that is the politician at work, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But the last people on our enrage are ABBA fans.
I know. Like, what could they do to you? Like, they seem quite nice people.
Finally facing my Waterloo. Quandary Corner. In problematic at the GLAP clinic. Annabelle?
Yes.
How's it looking then?
I think this is something that you are going to be very helpful with, this first
great,
one.
Great.
It's from Georgie. Like many drifters, I'm socially awkward and struggle to interact with strangers without analysing every part of what I say and do. Somehow, I'm also the mother of an extremely confident, almost two-year-old. She has now taken it upon herself to block the path of any stranger coming towards her while triumphantly waving and shouting hello repeatedly. As you can imagine, this results in many an interaction from said stranger, and I'm at a loss with how to handle the situation. Do I just let them talk to her, or do I have to talk to them too? They often say things like, oh, she's very sweet, cute, which of course I believe she is. But if I agree, is that not rather big-headed of me? If I say nothing, does that not reflect badly on me as a mother? She will continue to wave at them, but doesn't say much else, so I feel the need to fill these awkward silences. But with what? I have no idea. How do I, as a socially awkward parent, deal with an overly confident toddler? I want her to remain her confident self and never pick up on my awkwardness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you're describing my life to a large extent.
Yes, that's why I thought you might be able
to help. So I'm lucky in that my wife is socially competent.
Ah, yes.
And what I do is I listen for things she says to other people and then reuse them.
Oh, do you? You copy her work?
Yeah. So if somebody says, oh, he's so cute, she'll say something like, oh, you can take him for a couple of weeks if you want.
See how cute he is then.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So you use that.
And so I just sort of say that. It never gets the same, as good a reaction as when she says it. Mm. She has a lot of panache.
Right.
Which I don't really have. I think a stock phrase is what's going to help you out here.
How do you move it along? Like, how do you? You don't want to be interacting, but your child does. How do you move it along?
What I do is a lot of third person stuff. Mm. So, Gene, we've got to let this guy go about his day.
Acting like you're taking
It's nice to meet people, but I'm sure he's got somewhere to be. Shall we say bye?
Come on, we need to get to the shops.
Moving it along like that.
That feels like that could be helpful.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Good. All right then.
Yeah.
I think we can move on, maybe.
And that is a really good one. You can have him for a fortnight if you want. That's pretty good.
Or you can have him at 5 a.m. when he gets up. That kind of thing.
We could just go. Not enough for you.
If you need conversation, if it's on the slightly cold side, is it cold enough for you? If it's on the slightly hot enough for you.
And what was the one? 2020, eh? What was that one?
Oh yeah, there we go. What a year
it's been. We won't forget 2020, will we?
Might feel weird saying that in this context, but anyway.
Yeah.
Might be useful for other situations. Mm. Okay, let's move on then to Emma. I've been listening to the section of the podcast where people tell the things they're tired of hearing when someone else finds out their job. And I thought I would write in, though I suppose mine is more of a quandary. Mm. I kind of have the opposite problem. I'm a researcher working on a fungal molecular biology, and I don't think anyone really knows what to say when I tell them what I do. I often get, wow, that sounds interesting. What does that involve then? But I have no idea how to answer this. Are they actually asking me what I do? It's a long and complicated explanation. And I'm not sure how much someone I've just met really wants to know about the genetics of the fungus that causes thrush. I wrote a public outreach article not long ago on the subject. Should I direct them to that? Or do they just not know what else to say and I should just move the conversation on somehow?
This is interesting, isn't it? Because if it was me, I would be extremely interested in what you're doing for a living. I feel the greatest conversations with strangers on public transport, whatever, is always with people who do very strange, specific things. Like, no disrespect to you if you're a radio DJ or if you're a firefighter or something like that. But I've got a sense of what the job is, and the questions I ask of you. I put radio DJ in there because I didn't want to sound as if, oh, if you're only a firefighter, which of course one of the most noble, heroic things
No, but what you're saying is we all know what a firefighter does.
What that's like, and you know, you don't want to, you risk going into the laughing on the outside, dying on the inside territory by saying, ever got a cat from up a tree or whatever.
What do you do between fires?
Yeah. Whereas I remember once being on a train from Dundee to Edinburgh and talking to a microbiologist who reframed my vegetarianism for me. Because remember, I used to eat mussels and oysters because I said, I can't grasp that they're any more alive than a mushroom.
Mm-mm.
And then this woman told me all about how they have sort of intricate family setups and feel pain very intensely. Aww. So I've never eaten anything, you know. My thing I used to always say is I'll never eat anything that's had a face.
Yes.
But yeah, she was vegetarian, but also she'd done all these experiments on plankton. You know, she was like the Josef Mengele's of plankton. She'd done like awful things and felt terrible about it. But, but you know, in the name of science.
Is that how she described herself?
No, that was me there, and I'm sort of regretting it. I'll tell you what was just going through my head then after I'd said it. I thought, God, sometimes it's good we're not on the radio anymore, because that's the sort of thing that would have got me into trouble. It would have just fallen out of my mouth like that.
I believe he can.
All I mean is like a scientist who's done terrible things. That was my first thought, a scientist who's done terrible things. Okay. You know, I now understand that it wasn't the best analogy.
Yeah, but in the plankton world.
Yeah, but plankton world aside, Annabelle, I'm trying to apologise to anybody who was offended by that. I'm really sorry. Anyway, so that's an example of something. It was a very specific plankton-based area of marine biology that she did, and it was just fascinating to me. So I think there will be a section of people who will find you talking about your work, if it's what you're passionate about and you can kind of explain it in some kind of layman's terms, that will be more interesting than most people's jobs.
Yeah, so embrace it.
And then there's going to be like a whole bunch of other people who just don't want to hear about it, right?
I might be in that category. I mean, I would just get lost so quickly, even in the most simplistic terms.
I think I would just hear the word fungal and then think, oh God, what have I got in the memory banks on fungal, and I blurt something out about when my foot went a bit strange from about 1997 till 99.
Yeah.
Maybe it was longer than that. But it's not that type of fungus. I seem to have lost... Pointing somebody towards a Guardian... Was it a Guardian article or...
No, it was a public outreach article.
Yeah.
If you'd like to know more, please read this article.
I'd have a couple of killer facts about these fungi.
This is how I feel. I feel she needs to have something prepared, like two or three facts that everyone is amazed by, and that'll be enough for everyone. I think just say, oh, you know, if she does that, like, I work in a lab all day, but I can tell you something interesting. I'll tell you, and then tell them two or three things, and that can be that.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's the way. Yeah. You need to do a bit of homework, is what we're saying. Sorry. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's all there in your head anyway.
Yeah.
What if you want to send us some potentials?
We'll narrow it down for you.
We'll tell you which the best one or two are if you want. It would provide that service.
Okay, great.
I mean, I would... What is the full job title again?
It is Fungal Molecular Biology.
So, you know, we did the secret waiter. We could do the secret fungal molecular biologist. I'm trying to think, like, sometimes with this, the point to come back to is, have we been helpful in any way?
Are we ever?
Probably not, no. But I think the takeaway is people are possibly more interested in your job than you think they are because it's so unusual. And just have a couple of factoids to hit them with.
Yeah.
Okay. If you have a quandary for Quandary Corner, then you can email us hello@adriftpodcast.com. So So that was our podcast. Thank you for listening to it. We always appreciate your ears. And we appreciate your support on Patreon. If you do support us on Patreon, patreon.com/adrift. Does it smell weird to you in here today?
A little bit.
It does smell weird.
We've got the window open.
No, I don't think it's coming from the window. I think it's coming from the ensuite. Something not right with that loo. Anyway, we don't need to trouble the drifters with this. Do continue to share with us your stories of social ineptitude, also your laughing on the outside, dying on the insides, and anything for Quandary Corner. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com. Thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music, and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music. Carla Gallett took photos. Kim Rainey designed the artwork. And I think my favourite phrase from this week's episode wasn't actually a phrase, but it was the uncomfortably long, it's seemingly eternal silence that followed the question, oh, what's your baby's name? Podication time. This comes from... Oh, no. I've got a problem here.
Mm-hmm.
Straight away, I recognise the surname.
Yeah.
It's somebody who has had many podications over the years.
Mm.
One of our most devoted and beloved drifters, and prior to that, you know, symposium members.
Yeah.
However, I feel like every time we read out an email, either from or regarding her, we get into this whole thing where we don't know how to say her surname. And I think today is going to be no exception.
Is it Jerschak?
Jerschak. Jerschak.
Jerschak.
I'm sure we've had it spelled out for us phonetically before now.
It's mortifying.
It is awful, isn't it? It's from Samantha Jerschak, who says, "Hi, Jeff and Annabelle."
Hi.
Hi. I would really appreciate it if you could dedicate a podification to my daughter, Ellen Jerschak. Now, Ellen is, I mean, somebody who's been with us such a long time.
Yeah, it's very familiar name.
Yeah.
But I just don't remember how to say it. Sorry.
She is an avid drifter and has been listening to you since back in the day of your radio show. She has contributed both stories and problems at various points, and we often have a chat about the podcast later in the week. Ellen is 29 on the 30th of July, and this would be a great start to her 30th year. She is a fabulous daughter, especially for putting up with her embarrassing mother. The past few years have been difficult, but she has always been there with her level head in a crisis. It's added, this also will make up for our Cheers video not getting on Sunday brunch when I was 50.
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry you were snubbed by Rimmer and Lovejoy. We used to work with Tim Lovejoy for a while, didn't we?
Yeah.
Can't remember a single thing. Like, if you've brushed with celebrity in some way, what people want is some kind of telling detail.
Nothing for
me. I remember absolutely nothing. I don't think we crossed paths. We just worked at the same place at the same time. Long may the podcast continue, says Samantha Jerschak. Ellie's name. I mean, I've a feeling she's one of these who's been with us for like since the Jeff show, perhaps.
I think so.
It's a very familiar name to me,
yeah.
Ellie. Although, you know, now that she's in her 30th year, I think she's more of an Ellen.
Mm-mm.
I think we can agree. This comes from Emily. I'm imagining this surname is pronounced Wildboar. But maybe it's Willibor. What do you think?
It's not our surname day, is it?
It's not.
Yeah.
Close to where I grew up, if you go out into the hills, there's a little village or hamlet called Wildboar Clough.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
Is that a Wildboar Clough? That's nice, isn't it? Emily Wildboar. So I don't know if this is, you know, some kind of derivation of Wilbur or of Wildboar. It's difficult to tell. The E is really a Wiley Boar, like Wiley Coyote.
Yep.
Who knows?
Let's move on.
Yeah. Hi, Jeff and Annabelle.
Hi.
Hi. I know this is short notice, but Would it be possible to request a podication for Shreya Shetty's birthday this year on the 29th of July? We will both hopefully graduate as doctors next year, and I hope she will be absolutely, she says no, not hope. I want to be very clear here. That was me just reading it wrong. Right. I know she will be an absolutely amazing doctor.
I hope. There's a big difference between I know. I don't know why I did that.
And I wish I was half as brilliant as she is. Do you know what the great thing about this is?
Mm.
I've got a doctor's email address.
No, please don't. You. I'm going to take it away from you. I'm going to delete it. Take it away from you.
Oh, this is good.
You're forbidden.
Yeah. I'm normally amazing with birthday presents, but I've been unusually awful this year. So I'm doing this to make up for the lack of birthday celebrations. I mean, here's a thing. Even if you are the best present giver in the world, every now and again you have a fallow year.
Oh, of course you do. So, you know, to build the anticipation for next year. Yeah.
You just have a year where you just can't, you know, get that perfect present, even if you're so thoughtful. Like Annabelle is the best present buyer I know, but there was
Don't bring up the pencil sharpener. That pencil sharpener was fantastic. I mean, it was a bit annoying that the sticky label wouldn't come off. It was always sticky, but...
I'm normally amazing with birthday. I just want to point something out here that if people are thinking, oh, I bet it was really thoughtful, though. I've seen the show Mad Men, and I'm thinking of that sort of 50s classic office environment with some kind of pencil sharpener that bolts onto the end of a table and you turn a handle. And it wasn't anything like that, was it?
It was a cheap plastic one. But let me come up. Seeing as we're talking about it, I will justify by saying that you would always have pencil sharpenings everywhere. And so I bought you a pencil sharpener that contains the sharpenings within the sharpener.
Yes, no, I know.
So all you had to do was empty it. In many ways, it was extremely thoughtful.
No, it was thoughtful. It
wasn't the best version that money could buy.
No, but, you know, times are tight, weren't they? Mm. I can't really think of anything poignant to say. Because it's just a little 22 this year, but you're still an incredible friend. I think more advice from Jeff would be welcome about the 22nd birthday, although last year the advice was to be more self-conscious, and I think she'd agree this isn't really possible.
Oh, did you say that really? Oh.
I mean, it's what I would say.
Yeah.
I think I said at the time, I think I was too confident at 21.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
I mean, the alcoholism really factored into that. Mm. By the time I was 22, I'd had my first major mental health episode and was living back in my childhood bedroom.
Mm.
I mean, I'm not recommending that's a route you follow.
No.
If it happens, these things happen.
That's fine.
22.
Not a good year for me.
Why?
I just was very lost at 22. Didn't know what I was doing, really.
Annabelle.
Yeah, I was on... The future all just felt too stretching out ahead. I should have looked at it in smaller increments rather than looking so far ahead. Don't think about what you want to do for the rest of your life. Think about what you want to do for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the sort of thing a doctor thinks, I suppose, after that 7 years of training. I found it quite overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Some people have wonderful 22s.
I bet. You know, I'm not saying the current situation isn't challenging, but it can get you out of uncomfortable situations.
Yep.
There's a lot of situations you're no longer in just by dint of the fact that it's not legal.
Yes.
Trying to think. It's 22, so that would have been 1995. Yeah, I hit the bottle quite hard that year.
Right. Anything's going to be better than our 22, so you're going to be fine.
Yep.
You disappeared. I know.
I'm sort of in my own memory, and I'm trying to think of. Yeah, here's something I think about when I was in my early 20s, and this is very specific to me, but it might be useful to other people because there is an element of driftishness to it as well.
Mm.
Nobody is expecting that much socially from you at that age. So when I was working at my first radio station, there were all these brilliant people, and we'd go to the pub and they were all so funny and great anecdotalists and socially confident. Mm. And I would sit there feeling so uncomfortable. And then I just started drinking more and more. And it was like this magic juice that made me feel, if not necessarily outwardly, but it made me feel like, oh, I was funny and I had things to contribute socially and whatever. But if I think about it now, there's no pressure on you at 21 or 21 to be the life and soul with a bunch of 30 or 40 year olds or whatever.
No.
Just do it at your own pace.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think like that's very specific to what I was going through, just take it at your own pace is good advice for any age, I guess. But specifically those early 20s where you're thinking, okay, I need to sort of establish myself in some way. I think it's fine. Worry about that in your 30s.
Yeah.
It'll just happen.
No one expects too much of people in their early 20s.
That's I think there's my, it's a little earnest, but I think there is some good advice in there.
Yeah.
Don't put too much expectation on yourself. Just enjoy yourself. And if you don't enjoy something, don't do it.
Yeah.
Like nobody's expecting that much of you. You've got your stuff going on. You're going to be a doctor. That's taking enough of your energy and dedication. When you're not doing that, just don't put pressure on yourself. Just be. Let it be. How was that?
Good.
Anyhow, happy birthday, Shreya Shetty. Once again, she will kill me when she knows I did another thing for a birthday, but it's worth it. We will one day write in about our Adrift stories. Side note, I've actually written a few of my stories, but I think I'm so incoherent at writing that they haven't ever been read out loud. It's definitely a wonderful thing that Shreya Shetty and Emily Wiley Boar have found each other, and I know it will continue for many years to come. Here's something that I think might have just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And do email back and let us know if this has happened.
Mm.
I wonder, since Emily wrote in for a podication for Shreya last year, if we had the exact same conversation about her surname, up to and including me mentioning that there was a place called Wild Book Luff.
Please, God, no.
I mean, it sounds like... Yeah. As I say that, don't you think, I bet that's what happened?
Well, it's possible.
But we just don't remember.
Let us know.
We don't remember anything. We don't remember anything.
Tell us it didn't happen and then we can just live in ignorant bliss.
We can't remember anything, me and you, can we? We can't even remember working with Tim Lovejoy.
No, got nothing for you on that, sorry.
I feel like a lot of my life is just like a list of things that I know happened, but there's no detail and no actual memory to go with those things.
It's gone.
Yeah. Was it you I was talking to recently where I'd read something which was your memories aren't your memories, they're just the last time you thought about the memories or the last time you told the story?
Yeah, I think you told me that, yeah.
So even that wasn't me remembering an interesting fact.
Yeah.
Okay. Finally, Sophie Wells says, ahoy, Jeff and Annabelle.
Ahoy.
Ahoy. I would like to podicate this episode to my sister Jane for her birthday, which is the 27th of July. Jane was the one who introduced me to Adrift, and I've been listening ever since. She lives in Macclesfield.
Oh.
And I live in St. John's in Newfoundland. Oh, you pronounce it Newfoundland. Newfoundland. I thought, Newfoundland, this is good information. So is this Jane who, do you remember one time I was in Macclesfield and then a drifter got in touch to say that I'd walked past their shop and looked in?
It was Fat Face.
Yes.
I remember some things and it was Fat Face.
I wonder if it's Jane, who, but then she wasn't, what she was leaving Fat Face, wasn't she?
Yes, yeah. Yes. See, we do have a memory. It probably wasn't her, though.
No.
But anyway, carry on.
Just seems unlikely to me that two people in Macclesfield would be listening. But who knows? They never recognise a prophet in the hometown.
Oh.
Yeah. But we keep in touch through messaging and Skype. You're really not finding the smell too off-putting.
Is it definitely coming from the bathroom?
I think it is.
Right.
But it's a peculiar smell.
It's weird. It's really weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of meaty.
Yes.
Isn't it meaty?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've thought that before. It smells like some gravy my dad used to make.
Yeah.
Anyway. Last year, many of us from our large family stayed with Jane in her beautiful house on the canal. Some lovely canal around Macclesfield.
Sounds nice.
What's it called? The something ring. Cheshire Ring, probably. Excuse me. Did you just hear a stifled burp?
Yes.
There was a stifled sneeze at some point during the episode as well.
Oh, I wonder if anyone can spot it.
Should go back and listen to the whole thing again and then first listener to give us the exact time code of the sneeze wins nothing. Wins a certificate. She surprised me by taking us to the castle where they filmed my favourite movie, The Princess Bride, and then also to the location in the same movie where Buttercup and Wesley tumble down the cliff. We reenacted the scenes, of course. I could have died at the end of that day and I would have been happy because my life is now complete.
Oh, that's so nice.
I wonder where they filmed The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
I'm very curious. I've been thinking of ways to tell Jane how glad I am that she's my sister, but it's hard because we aren't a very lovey family. I remember the first time I hugged Jane, we were almost adults. I'll just say this. My life would be significantly duller without her. Happy birthday. I love the restraint.
Yeah.
It's great.
Very nice.
Makes me think well of Newfoundland.
Mm.
Happy birthday, Jane. Hopefully I will make it to next year's Live Adrift show with you.
Oh, is there going to be one? This is news to me.
Well, we can't do one in 2021, no. But maybe 2022 we can do one of those drive-in shows that they're doing now.
Oh, yeah.
So what I'd like to do?
Mm.
A show on a cliff. And everybody's in little boats, rowboats and stuff. Pedalos? You're not into this idea, are you?
Just trying to, I'm logistically thinking ahead to, you know, audio and stuff, yes. It's a nice vision. It's slightly weird, but.
Okay, okay. We could be on like Shorter Ship Radio.
What if we were on the end of
like
South
the Coast Guard Channel?
We were the end of South MP
and
everyone
don't like
was
it.
In dinghies.
Don't like it. Don't like it. I want to be like a siren on the rocks.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Well, what a lovely bunch of podcasts.
Yeah, three. Mm. So many birthdays.
Jane, happy birthday from Sophie. Also, Shreya, happy birthday from Emily. And the Ellen, formerly known as Ellie, happy birthday from your mum. And if you would like a podication, you can email us. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.